Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Going to read this morning the next two verses, texts 5 and 6 from chapter 16, canto 3. Jai and Vijay, cursed by the sages. So the first one has a lot of meaning in a short purport. Continuing, this is Lord Narayan speaking to the Kumaras, and the topic is offense committed by one who is representing someone else. In this case, the offense against a devotee, offense against the four Kumaras. Here's what Lord Narayan says. A wrong act committed by a servant leads people in general to blame his master, just as a spot of white leprosy on any part of the body pollutes all of the skin. Purport. A Vaishnava, therefore, should be fully qualified. As stated in the Bhagavatam, anyone who has become a Vaishnava has developed all the good qualities of the demigods. There are 26 qualifications mentioned in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. A devotee should always see that his Vaishnava qualities increase with the advancement of his Krishna consciousness. A devotee should be blameless because any offense by the devotee is a scar on the personality, Supreme Personality of Godhead. The devotee's duty is to be always conscious in his dealings with others, especially with another devotee of the Lord. That's a powerful purport, huh? Like worth reading it again. Lord Narayan is confirming what he said previously. The curse that you have made against my representative Jayan Vijay is appropriate, and that what they have done is an offense, and I take it as my offense against you. I take this to be an offense by myself, therefore I seek your forgiveness for the incident that has arisen. So he's continuing on the theme. Although the action was done by Jayan Vijay, it's like white leprosy, where the whole skin is contaminated, not just that little place. So, and similarly, they're my representatives. Because they have offended you, I have offended you. And then the whole world takes it that way. When some person serving a master makes an offense, the whole world looks to the master. In this case, the master is the personality of God. The language is very strong. Prabhupada is speaking of a scar on the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That's heavy. So then he speaks about the qualities or the qualifications of a Vaishnava. 26 qualities mentioned in Chaitanya Charitamrita. According to Bhagavatam, they automatically accrue to a devotee. But then he also says that if the devotee should be in advancing in Krishna consciousness, consciously being attentive to the further development of those qualities. The further development of those qualities is in pursuance of pleasing the personality of Godhead or serving him favorably. And the opposite, it's not, development of Vaishnava qualities is not for self-improvement or making oneself regarded in a more pleasing way or like praiseworthy way by others. It's not for receiving praise or one's own sense of satisfaction. Now I'm better. Rather, it's to serve better, to please Krishna better, to represent Krishna better. The statement that when one is a devotee, all the good qualities of the demigods automatically become manifest in the body of, or within that person, it's like the horse before the cart. The primary quality, the Swarup Lakshana, is Krishna Eka Sharana, complete devotion and surrender to Krishna. That's the primary characteristic. And then behind that, there's the secondary characteristics, the other 25, Tatastha Lakshana. So we sometimes hear it described like this, that the devotee doesn't need to try to develop the other 25 qualities, they need to focus on the one quality and the other 25 qualities will follow. No extraneous endeavor is necessary, just try to become pure in your devotion to Krishna. Here's an example of where, not the opposite, but it sounds like the opposite is said, where a devotee should always see that his Vaishnava qualities increase with the advancement of his Krishna consciousness. So it's something like what comes first is the horse. Developing some attachment for Krishna, wanting to please Krishna, to serve Krishna favorably, to see Krishna smile. And then there are qualities that make Krishna smile. So let me see if I can develop this quality, that quality, the other quality, so that Krishna will smile. And he describes in the 12th chapter of Bhagavad Gita how smiley he becomes when he sees his devotees with this quality, with those qualities, with other qualities. He's very pleased. Although the qualities come from him, he decorates the devotee with those nice qualities. It's something like deity worship, or it's something like a mirror. In deity worship, the the worshiper is interested in making the deity very attractive in standard ways, not concocted ways, but very, 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 very attractive, because this is my Lord, and so I'm decorating my Lord. And when people see my Lord decorated so nicely, their appreciation for him will grow. It's like that. It's simply that of service. But What's really going on is the Lord is already all opulent. The servant who is decorating the Lord becomes decorated with good qualities, following behind the one primary quality, wishing to serve the Supreme Lord. The one who is receiving the benefit is the pujari. Although their consciousness is, my Lord is the one who's being served and he's being benefited by service. Although he doesn't need my service, he's being very kind and he's accepting my service. So like that. The opposite is through the example of a mirror. Like when you put your tilak on in the morning, you don't see your forehead, you see your reflection of your forehead in the mirror when you put on your tilak. So it looks like the image in the mirror is being decorated with tilak, but it's actually your own forehead that's being decorated with tilak. So similarly, it looks like the Supreme Lord is being enhanced, his attractiveness, but is being enhanced by the service rendered. But he's all attractive already. It's the benefit goes to the servant. Now that's the when devotional service is done right paradigm. Then there's when it's not done right, or when it's faulty, or when it's offensive. There's this saying, I don't know where it comes from, but Prabhupada quoted it. Even the path to hell is paved by good intention. You've heard that one before? Even the path to hell is paved by good intention. So, intention, what is your intention? Like sankalpa. What is it that you want? What is it you're... What's behind the action? The subtle that's behind the gross actions. So good intention is important. But good intention can be wrongly applied and create an awful result. Say in this case, the Jai and Vijay, their intention, we can be sure, was they're carrying out the service of the Lord. But in the Lord's words here, they made a big mistake. And so the intention may have been good, but that the action was not. And so what happens for those actions that are not good? It's like white leprosy on skin, or the master becomes criticized. So the four Kumaras didn't say anything bad about Lord Narayan. What kind of master is he? Look at these gatekeepers. But the Lord is presenting like this for, in part, to pacify rightly, to pacify the four Kumaras. Certainly, in many other things, certainly also to teach us a lesson that, like we've been discussing, when you're entrusted with some service, understand that you're representing someone. Carry out carefully, because the good name of that someone who you're representing is going to be valued in terms of how well you carry out the service. Although, you know, they may have done nothing wrong, you've done something wrong, some blame goes to them. So, doesn't mean, oh, better not do any service. It means do your services nicely. And then the honor goes to them. And the converse is also there. So we want to cultivate nice qualities. It's stated three times in this short purport. That's starting at the very beginning. therefore a Vaishnava should be fully qualified. Then he says, a devotee should always see that his Vaishnava qualities increase with the advancement of his Krishna consciousness. And then the ending, the devotee's duty is to always be conscious of his dealings with others, especially with another devotee of the Lord. So it's one of those things. We require association in order to further advance in Krishna consciousness. And then the risk side is, if we're not careful in how we associate with devotees, we can make a problem for ourselves and those who we're representing. So we must be very careful, which is exactly what he's saying. One should always be conscious in his dealings with others, Krishna conscious, especially with another devotee of the Lord. Because the Lord will be displeased, not only the other person, and the Lord will be blamed, and the fame and reputation will not be extended and expanded, but the opposite. So that idea is now extended into the next verse, and the focus is going to go on the sincere quality of devotion. Now remember, the prior message, when hearing this, good intention is not good enough. It's necessary, so along with sincerity, that there's the proper application of that sincerity, or the proper application of the instruction. Krishna will give the intelligence if one is properly attentive to serving Krishna. Here we go. Anyone in the entire world, down to the chandala, who lives by cooking and eating the flesh of dog, is immediately purified if he takes bath in hearing through the ear the glorification of my name, fame, etc. Now you have realized me without doubt. Pretty nice. Lord Narayana is saying to the Kumaras, therefore, I will not hesitate to lop off my own arm if its conduct is found hostile to you. And there's a long purport. Real purification can take place in human society if its members take to Krishna consciousness. This is clearly stated in all Vedic literature. Anyone who takes to Krishna consciousness in all sincerity, even if he is not very advanced in good behavior, is purified. A devotee can be recruited from any sector of human society, although it is not expected that everyone in all segments of society are well behaved. As stated in this verse and many places in Bhagavad Gita, even if one is not born in a Brahmana family, or even if he is born in a family of chandalas, if he simply takes to Krishna consciousness, he is immediately purified. In Bhagavad Gita 9th chapter, verses 30 through 32, it is clearly stated that even though a man is not well behaved, if he simply takes to Krishna consciousness, he is understood to be a saintly person. As long as a person is in the material world, he has two different relationships in his dealings with others. You want to guess what they are? Body and spirit. One relationship pertaining to the body, the other pertains to the spirit. As far as bodily affairs or social activities are concerned, although a person is purified on the spiritual platform, it is sometimes seen that he acts in terms of his bodily relationships. This is a very interesting sentence. If a devotee born in the family of a chandala, and he's previously defined what chandala is. Now he says the lower caste is sometimes found engaged in his habitual activities, cooking and eating the flesh of a dog. Or other bodily tendencies. If a devotee born in the family of a chandala is sometimes found engaged in his habitual activities, he is not to be considered a chandala. In other words, a Vaishnava should not be evaluated in terms of his body. The Shastra states that no one should think the deity in the temple to be made of wood or stone, and no one should think that a person coming from a lower caste family who has taken to Krishna consciousness is still in the same low caste. These attitudes are forbidden because anyone who takes to Krishna consciousness is understood to be fully purified. He is at least engaged in the process of purification, and if he sticks to the principle of Krishna consciousness, he will very soon be fully purified. The conclusion is that if one takes to Krishna consciousness with all seriousness, he is to be understood as already purified, and Krishna is ready to give him protection by all means. The Lord assures herein that he is ready to give protection to his devotee, even if there is need to cut off part of his own body. Chindyam svabahum api. Cut off his own arm. Va pratikula vritam, if it's acting inimically towards his devotee. That's pretty extreme. It's not going to happen. The Lord does not act inimically towards, or any part of his body act inimically towards his devotee. But if that was so, he would sacrifice. Chindyam svabahum, even his arm. So, most of the focus in the purport is going to the very special nature of bhakti. Bhakti purifies. Even if one is low-born, bhakti purifies. And the bhakti principle will decorate that low-born or low-class person to become a first-class person. The bhakti principle will do that. The bhakta, going back to the previous statement, should be consciously striving to improve, enhance, develop, cultivate the qualities of a devotee on the strength of devotion to Krishna for pleasing Krishna purpose. And then this other is message in the purport is this, how the Lord feels when one who is his devotee is not honored or is dishonored or is vilified, or he becomes very disturbed. He's willing to extend his protection to that devotee at any cost of his own. If the devotee is harmed or at risk or not treated properly, he'll act up to the... So the cutting off of his own limb is Jayan Vijay. Let them descend to the become demons. for this offense of offending the Kumaras. It's the Lord's cutting off his limb. They're his limbs. They're his gatekeepers, trusted. They're so confidential. There's a story, there's a description found from Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. I don't recall where the reference is from. Maybe you've heard this before. Jayant Vijay were not only at the seventh gate of Vaikuntha, they're very confidential servants of the Lord. They were sometimes guarding his chamber in his palace. So one time, Lord Narayan instructed them, "I'm going to take rest, so don't let anybody enter." You've heard this description before? Don't let anybody enter. So, yes sir, no one will enter. And while he's resting, the goddess of fortune, Lakshmi, wanted to enter. He said, "No, you can't enter. The Lord's resting. But I'm the goddess of fortune." He said, "No one should enter. When he's awake, you can come." So she became disturbed. And when the Lord had awoken, of course he wasn't asleep like we sleep, but it's a pastime. When the Lord was awake, Lakshmi informed Narayan what happened. "These Jayant Vijay, they're unqualified. They prevented me from entering. So you should punish them." But he didn't want to punish them because they did exactly what he told them to do. But Lakshmi wanted them to be punished. So part of the whole leela of Jayant Vijay being punished was to fulfill the desire of the goddess of fortune, who was by Lord Narayan's side when he confirmed, "Yes, this is fitting punishment." So she was very satisfied. And Jayant Vijay were also satisfied. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur writes about this in Madhurya Kandambani. They had prayed because they intimately serve the Lord. They know his feelings. He has a chivalrous nature. And they reasoned, how is he going to fulfill the chivalrous? There's no one going to be engaged in combat with him. So, our dear Lord, if you so desire, we'll take that position of being in combat with you. So he made an arrangement to fulfill their desire. And simultaneously he fulfilled the desire. He pleased the four Kumaras. "We're Brahmanas. We're qualified." "Yes, you're Brahmanas and you're qualified. You should be honored." So everyone was pleased by one leela. And then so many other downstream leelas when Ravana and Kumbhakarna, the three lifetimes, the various personalities to engage in leelas of the Lord, to see the Lord and to engage in his service, and so many other persons were also pleased because that's his program. He's Bhakta Vatsala, pleases his devotees. Even when there's contradictory feelings, he pleases his devotees. So this chindyam svabahum, this cutting off his arms, is the Jayant Vijay descending into the lower regions and becoming demons. Like he did with his own son, Bhomasura. Bhomasura was Krishna's son. Yes? Yes? You're aware? Bhomasura? You know who is Bhomasura?
The one who was in the
Yes, the princes, princesses, Bhumasura. That was Krishna's son, and Krishna killed his own son. From the son of Varaha and Bhumi, thus Bhauma became Bhumasura through bad association, and Krishna admonished him, finished him for his offenses. But Krishna's looking to the sincerity of one's devotion. And sincere devotion is devotion that's applied in a way that's directed by qualified persons to direct that sincere devotion. Otherwise, it can be sincerely wrong, sincerely foolish. So properly directed. This is at the gates of Vaikuntha. This is Lord Narayan with Lakshmi by his side and the four Kumaras right there. So what to speak of here? The nature of the Lord doesn't change with something that happens here. It's the same nature. He'll give protection to his devotees at any cost, including cutting off his own arm, or whatever it takes to protect his devotee and uphold the honor of his devotee. Now the nature of this world is there's demons, and the demoniac mentality is always in opposition to the sura mentality. There's always. And sometimes it looks like the demons are overwhelming the suras. Not only in Kali Yuga, but especially in Kali Yuga. This is not even Yuga, it's Vaikuntha. But in Satya Yuga, there's also demons. In Treta Yuga and Dwarpa Yuga, there's demons. And the demons look like they're harassing the devotees. They're harassing the devotees. But ultimately, one who abides from the platform of the soul is taking shelter of the Supreme Soul. Harassment may come to the body, but the soul is always protected. And that's ultimately the essence of the person. It's not you become a devotee and nothing, no misfortune will come to you because you're a devotee. That protection is the protection of one's devotion and the execution of that devotion. One can serve Krishna in any circumstance. In any circumstance. But sometimes he comes and directly finishes. The demoniac personality or their influence. I'm thinking of a particular situation in one place where there's a very sincere devotee couple and they're being just harassed by some group of four or five people. Harassed and harassed and harassed. And they're taking it pretty well. I guess it's not easy, but they're taking it they're taking it as purification. And probably that's what it is. But it's like it's harassment. But fortunately, they also know that ultimately Krishna is our protector. And there are many other senior Vaishnavas coming to their aid because they're being harassed. But ultimately, what can anyone else do? It's ultimately in Krishna's hand. So, We have some role to play in devotional service. We're given some opportunity to render some service, and we should do that very conscientiously, very carefully, especially in dealings with other Vaishnavas. But even other than dealing, direct dealings with Vaishnavas, we should do our devotional service very carefully, knowing that it's for the Supreme Lord's pleasure, and the world may not know, but Krishna knows. The effort of the quality of devotion that we have for Him when we're carrying out what we're doing, and whatever it is. Cooking for the devotees, or performing an arti, or cleaning the room, or going to school, and studying your subjects, and whatever the things are that you do. It's to be done for Krishna. And the world isn't thinking like that, but devotees are thinking like that. And so there's not so much reinforcement or support for our thinking about going to school and taking our studies for Krishna, because who's doing that? But in the association of devotees, we can have that understanding, develop that understanding, and know that Krishna knows. But what we're doing is for Him. And we should try to do that very, very nicely. During our GBC meeting, there was a little eulogy given of the son of Chitrarupini. The son's name was Madhava, and he became initiated devotee, Madhavananda. And I recall meeting the devotee. He recently died of cancer when he was only like his mid-20s or something like that, late 20s. But he was from childhood, very, very, like, just like it's described about, the Narada describes about himself, like, not frivolous, not playful, just very, very service-oriented, completely service-oriented. Even when he was little, he took care of his mother. He took care of the devotees. He just, like, whenever there were festivals or something, he was always serving. Because he wouldn't do the things that the other boys would do. They would tease him, poke fun at him. What's wrong with you? You're a mama's boy. You know, all those kinds of things. And he never, spoke back to them, or became unhappy. He never complained, they're picking on me. But he never moved from that position of just being a very strict follower. It's this nice appreciation. Up to when he found out that he had cancer, his thought was, how am I going to do service now? And the last few days, it was before some festival. And his anxiety was all the things that need to be done to make the festival happen nicely. Are they happening? He's just so service minded. That was his protection and his shelter, and because of that, he was decorated with all nice qualities and head was pleasing to all the devotees and certainly was pleasing to Krishna. And that quality was exhibited from his childhood. Very special soul. And someone may not be born quite like that, and like this verse is saying, born in a less fortunate circumstance. But the elevating force or factor is bhakti, wishing to serve Krishna, wishing to please Krishna. And then someone unqualified can become qualified. Okay. Any comments or questions? Yes?
If offenses can be committed with good intentions, or also...
If our offenses what?
Offenses can be committed even when intentions are good.
Yes.
So
yes.
Is
yes.
the rectification for them different from those offenses committed
sure.
with malice?
Of course. Certainly. Accidental and premeditated are very, very different. Let's read again what Prabhupada says here from Bhagavad Gita 9:30-32. In Bhagavad Gita, 9th chapter, verses 30-32, it is clearly stated that even though man is not well behaved, if he simply takes to Krishna consciousness, he is understood to be a saintly person. So, if intention is good and due to contamination, it doesn't come out right. It's faulty or something. It constitutes an offense. Then it's certainly different than someone who is in a premeditated way, calculating, does some offense and thinks, you know, now it's okay because I've got this purifying thing going on for me, my devotional service or chanting. It's very different. And the what comes to that person is also very different.
Is the means of rectification for the rectification for the offense same or
different? Prabhupada answers those kinds of questions this way. According to the severity of illness, strong medicine is required. For a headache, it's a tablet. For cancer, it's operation. So according to the gravity of the offense, the reaction is greater. And the means of correcting that is greater. Proportionate. Yes, it's different. Something else? Okay. Yeah?
You said that even if Krishna gives his devotees difficulties, but he will protect.
Krishna will always protect his devotee.
So what is unusual protection is the protection of the devotion.
What constitutes protection of a devotee? Is that your question?
I mean, what is the protection?
What
is the protection?
So what constitutes protection? What does that mean when Krishna protects his devotee? Well, I described a little bit. It means the soul or the devotion of the devotee. It doesn't mean you'll never die. You'll never get sick. You'll never have a problem. Doesn't mean that. Protection means Krishna is always there. Krishna is always there. He's in the heart of every living being. And Krishna's protection is always there. So his protection is the well-being of the quality of the soul. It may extend into physical harm. That may also, it may not also, but it may also, Krishna's protection may be extended to physical harm. Protection from physical harm. There's so many real life contemporary stories of that. People in car accidents and don't get any, you know, the car is totaled and they're not scratched. And then the police wonder, you know, how is this? You don't have a scratch. The car is totaled. It flipped over 5 times and crumpled. So things, but there are also devotees sometimes die in car accidents. It happens. So it doesn't necessarily mean protection from physical harm, although it may mean protection from physical harm. But the universal is protection of that which is eternal. The soul's quality of devotion for Krishna, that's protected. regardless of the circumstances. And Krishna is the one who's maintaining and upholding that. Just like he gives remembrance, knowledge, and forgetfulness. Matak smitir gyanam apohanam cha. For the devotee that wants to remember him, Krishna's protection comes in the form of providing remembrance, even in difficult circumstances, even in extreme circumstances. Remembrance, that's protection. Krishna gives that. Or dadami buddhiyogam tam yena mam upiyanti te. That's protection. Or, you know, the association of devotees, the bundle of sticks where this one stick can't be broken. That's Krishna's arrangement. You know that Aesop's fable story? Okay. You've heard of Aesop? A-E-S-O-P? He's a Greek sage. So he handed to his sons a bundle of sticks tied up and asked them to see if they could break the sticks. And they tried, they couldn't break the sticks. So then he took one stick out of the bundle and broke the stick, another stick out of the bundle broke the stick, another stick out of the bundle broke the stick. And the lesson was, when staying together, you can't break the bundle of sticks. Similarly, through association of devotees, we can be protected from being broken by Maya, by staying in association. So that's part of Krishna's protection, providing sangha of devotees. And we should recognize that's part of Krishna's protection. I mean, we appreciate the devotees, but they're representing Krishna. So here's the bundle of sticks. And Krishna is the Supreme Father, who is providing protection by giving this arrangement for association. And then there are those that help make this arrangement happen. But so special appreciation goes to those who help make this association possible. But ultimately it goes to Krishna. And that's part of Krishna's protection, having such personalities in our lives who bring together the association of devotees and maintain that association of devotees and serve Krishna in that way. That's part of Krishna's protection. The most important part, so that the mission of human life can be fulfilled. Go back to Godhead. We at least become attached to Krishna progressively. Like, you know, these Bhaktivedanta purports, that's part of Krishna's protection. We can neglect the protection and go wandering around here and there and not take it seriously. But if we take it seriously, then that's part of how Krishna provides protection. For our progressive journey with the human form of life and protection from being broken by Maya in various manifestations of protection. Okay. Yes.
In the pastime of Mother Lakshmi coming and asking Jayavijay to go, I was thinking that when they given, like the Lord had told them that not to do well, so they were sticking to that, to the Lord's order, that nobody should be allowed to enter. So, and Mother Lakshmi took that as an offense.
Yeah.
So of course it's a lila.
It's a lila.
So in our case, should we be understanding the mood of the person in serving them? Or?
Yes. That takes qualification to understand the mood of the person whom we're serving. Without qualification, I may think I know the mood of the person who I'm serving and I got it, you know, wrong. So it's a subtle embellishment. an important embellishment to know the mood of the person. And then to, you know, impart or carry out the message of knowing the mood of the person. Sure. But we can get it wrong too, so we, you know, be careful. Okay? Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.